just speak the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
All rights reserved and affirmed.
Free all minds. These are weapons of mass descent.
These are weapons of mass descent.
Welcome to Uprising, a daily digest of independent news analysis, investigation, education, artistic expression, and activism. It's Monday, June 23rd, 2008, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar.
It just makes me stop and think. Silence is not an option.
Today is KPFK's last day of fundraising for this pledge drive. We'll remind you why listener-sponsored public radio is now more crucial than ever before.
Sorry if my eyes drop when the fellow meadows out, but I can't help myself, why should I?
This is Uprising. Good morning and welcome to Uprising. Well, I thought I would be back on the air this morning with all new programming, free of the burdens of fundraising. We had a wonderful show planned for today, a show covering the story at Jordan High School, an interview with actor and activist Tim Robbins about his new play based on George Orwell's book 1984, and a look at the changing face of Barack Obama. But here we are again. The station goal for this fund drive, the same as for previous fund drives, was $1,085,000, which we were supposed to have reached by last Friday. But today is Monday, and we are currently at $884,490. So the station management has come to the decision that this fund drive will end this evening, no matter how much or how little money has been raised. And I do think that is a wise decision, because I know it's not necessarily the most pleasant thing for either you or I to be on these airwaves incessantly fundraising rather than giving you the information and doing the analysis, basically doing our jobs. So that's what we're all here for. Although ending the fund drive before meeting our goal means one very clear thing. The station will be cutting expenses this year. That will be first in the form of extras like sending staff to conferences, doing without computer upgrades, etc. But more ominously, it may translate into staff cuts. And indeed, our staff union representative has already been informed of the very real possibility of staff layoffs due to the economic situation at the station. So we have between now and this evening to raise as much money as possible, to be as generous as possible, so that the coming cuts will be as painless as possible. And of course, cutting staff at the station means that there are going to be fewer of us trying to do the same jobs, trying to do the same work of making this station run. So if you count on KPFK, if you believe in KPFK, we really hope that today you will reach into your wallets, particularly those who have not yet pledged, particularly those who have pledged in last fund drives but haven't pledged this drive, and those who've never pledged before. And you know that number. Well, I'll mention it again. It's 818-985-5735, 818-985-KPFK. Pledge as much as you can or as little as you can. Whatever you do, pledge something, because even a little bit will go a long way. And if everybody contributed just a little bit, we wouldn't need to ask for those big donations. The percentage of our listeners that actually contribute is quite small, and of those who are listening, you know, very, very few of you actually take the trouble and make that step of contributing. Now, certainly we know that not everybody can afford it, but most of us can afford a small contribution. So if maybe many of you call today and make small contributions, it would be very helpful to the station. Very excited last Friday. I don't know how many of you tuned in to hear the wedding broadcast that we did. Linda Martinez, Regina Rodriguez, this wonderful couple who've been together for nearly 9 years, got married on the radio, live on the air. We were broadcasting from the Village at Ed Gould Plaza, and I was told by several people, friends who were listening, that it was very moving, and there was not a dry eye around the radio, because it was a moving ceremony and really an affirmation of the love that two people feel for one another. And I was so proud, even though we didn't gear that particular show towards fundraising all hour and only spent the last 10 minutes asking for your donations, we were so proud that we were able to do that, take that action on the airwaves. And, you know, if you appreciated that, then I really hope that you will dig deep and try to into your wallets and show your appreciation through the form of dollars that translates into real help for this station. I was very, very happy with the way the broadcast went, and I was really excited about being able to offer listeners a chance to, you know, take a good deep look at what it really means when this state legalizes same-sex marriage. So that was, for me at least, a shining moment at KPFK Historic Broadcast. So today we are asking you for your pledge of $10 a month for a year. That's not very much a month. We hope that that's manageable enough that you wouldn't miss it. And what we're featuring today is a documentary that we have featured before in past fund drives, rather in this past fund drive. We featured it once before and it was very popular. It's a documentary called Blood and Oil. Very fitting, I think, to think about how the how, of course, the economy is dependent on our economy, the U.S. economy is dependent so deeply on oil. And as a result, the global economy is very dependent on oil. Now, that didn't come out of nowhere. That has historic roots. It has historic precedent. And of course, all the while, the supply of oil is running out and the use of oil is leading to a warming planet. And as a result of greenhouse gas emissions, which in turn is leading to very severe natural disasters such as what we're seeing in the Midwest and in Asia. The dependence on Middle East oil and its historical legacy is the premise of a book that was written a few years ago by Michael T. Clare. He's a professor of peace and world security studies. And in his book, he argues that the nation's energy behavior is dominated by four key trends. One, an increasing need for imported oil. Two, a pronounced shift towards unstable and unfriendly suppliers in dangerous parts of the world. Three, a greater risk of anti-American or civil violence. And four, an increased competition for what will likely be a diminishing supply pool. He very clearly lays out a damning indictment of U.S. foreign policy. Now, his book was the basis for a new documentary, brand new documentary by the Media Education Foundation, by the same name as his book, called Blood and Oil. It's an hour-long documentary, and it's narrated by Michael T. Clare, features rare and vintage footage as well as contemporary news clips to weave a very clear picture of how and why the U.S., particularly why the U.S. fights wars for oil. It's a wonderful way to understand where the current wars are coming from and why our future wars may be fought. And once we, of course, know this information, then it makes it easier for us to oppose the reasons for oil. Again, the number is 818-985-5735. I want to play you the opening minutes of this documentary, but remember, it's not about the documentary. It's about KPFK. It's about Pacifica Radio. And while I'm playing this documentary, make a pledge if you can. Call the number 818-985-5735. Make a pledge of $10 a month and we'll send you this DVD. But most importantly, you can tune into KPFK and you can count on us being there day in, day out, every morning. 818-985-KPFK. Here is Blood and Oil, and you'll hear the narration by Michael T. Clare, the author of the book based on the same name.
The far left would have you believe the Bush administration lied to get us into war for oil.
You heard here on this program tonight that we went into this effort to control the oil, which is not true.
And we did it, not for oil, you know, we did it out of trying to give these people a chance.
Oil. Is it about oil?
This is not about that. This is about saving lives by protecting the American people.
It does not relate to oil. I mean, it just plain doesn't.
$55 a barrel,
just over $75.
The law of supply and demand being
higher
what it
prices,
is, that is what is driving up
tight supplies,
control of the world's great oil reserve,
our appetite for gasoline has
only. This is the American dream of freedom on wheels.
For the United States, oil was once a source of power. More than any other vital material, oil was central to the American way of life.
What it comes down to is that the oil industry has to please Mrs. Martin and millions just like her. Already today, she's used some 87 petroleum products, including the plastic bacon wrapper and the wax of the milk carton.
since the onset of the petroleum age. In 1860, the United States has been the leading consumer of petroleum, and we remain so today. We have about 5% of the world's population. We consume 1/4 of the world's petroleum, about 20 million barrels per day out of total world consumption of 80 million barrels. But until you really investigate this, you don't appreciate just how deeply our economy is dependent on oil. 98% of our transportation energy comes from petroleum products. We couldn't move goods around our country without oil. Our entire agricultural industry is highly mechanized and dependent on petroleum for herbicides and pesticides and fertilizers. And then if you think of the million products that are made from petrochemicals, all the plastics and pharmaceuticals and cosmetics and paints and lubricants, all of these industries rest on an abundant supply of petroleum. And that's why when petroleum becomes scarce or the price of petroleum rises, the entire economy is affected.
Investors worried about high prices and low supplies keep pushing prices up even higher.
The extraordinary thing about our addiction to oil is this addiction was formed when we were self-sufficient in the production of petroleum. Well into the 1940s, we produced all of the oil we consumed. Even in the 1950s and 1960s, we produced 80 or 90% of our oil consumption. It's only been in the past decade or so that we've become significantly dependent on imported oil. We now depend on imported oil for about 2/3 of our total demand, and it's expected to increase radically over the next 25 years, but our domestic production is plummeting. And so since we became reliant on imported oil, it has become a source of weakness for the United States.
That's the voice of Michael T. Clare. He's the author of the book Blood and Oil, on which the new documentary by the Media Education Foundation, Blood and Oil, is based. So we played you the opening minutes of this documentary, and if that compelled you, please call us and pledge at 818-985-5735. We'd love to send you this documentary. It's a pledge of just $10 a month. It's one of my favorite documentaries, this Fund Drive. It's brand new, and it really lays the groundwork to help understand not only where the war against Iraq is coming from, but where future wars may come from. I mean, certainly we understand where the Bush administration is on the issue of Iran, another oil-rich country. And then, of course, the McCain campaign is also very much a hawkish campaign that is trying to follow in the footsteps of George W. Bush. And we are at a time when oil prices are increasing very rapidly, and they're affecting all of us, as well as the effects of global warming that are very deeply related to our consumption of oil. So it's all around a fabulous documentary, and it's our way of thanking you for supporting KPFK. 818-985-5735 is the number to call, 818-985-KPFK. It's just a $10 a month pledge. You can also, by the way, if you can't afford that, pledge $35. We'll give you the best of Uprising MP3 CD, over 30 hours of the best of our interviews over the past 4 months, put together on one CD. We clean them up. We make a beautiful CD for you. It's been one of our most popular thank you gifts in past fund drives, and each fund drive we try to bring you a new version, and you can load them up on your iPod or your MP3 player. It's something that is going to be very valuable for educational purposes, certainly, and you can listen to it at your leisure, particularly if you've missed certain shows and would like to catch up. And it's just it's a great way to remember some of the things that we've covered over the last few months. 818-985-5735 is the number to call. Please call us. Make that pledge. I wish I weren't here today asking you for the money. I wish I was doing regular programming, and no matter what happens, I will be doing that tomorrow, because the station management has decided to end the fund drive this evening, wisely, I think, because all of us want to get back to our regular work. But of course, the less, if we don't raise as much money as possible between now and this evening, it's going to be a tough time at the station. So please call, be as generous as possible. We also have, for a $500 pledge, the Meet Me at the Station thank you gift, very limited numbers, a number of you have already pledged for that. And we only have a couple of seats left. This is basically where you and a friend can come to the station, KPFK, on Wednesday, the 2nd of July at 7 p.m., and basically get a wonderful tour of the station. We'll take you out to dinner next door. We'll give you a couple of thank you gifts from the KPFK's outreach line. It's a really, really great way to get to know your station better. I'll be there hosting you as well as other programmers, and I know several of you have pledged for that already, and there's one more chance for all of you who are listening out there to call in and pledge. It's a $500 level for you and a guest. 818-985-KPFK is that number. And let's go back to Blood and Oil, this part of the documentary, which is very, very important, laying the historical groundwork, is about the United States and its relationship to Saudi Arabia, its historic, the historic roots of its relationship. 818-985-KPFK.
America is addicted to oil, which is often imported from unstable parts of the world.
Yes, we hear that America is addicted to oil. The president has said it.
I know it came as a shock to some to hear a Texan stand up there in front of the country and say, we got a real problem. America is addicted to oil. But I meant it, because it's a true fact, and we've got to do something about it now.
But it was in 1945 that the President of the United States, at that time Franklin Roosevelt, first grasped the nature of this crisis.
We must be the great arsenal of democracy. For us, this is an emergency as serious as war itself.
Franklin Roosevelt first looked ahead and saw that the United States eventually would become dependent. And he was the one who pioneered a foreign policy based on oil.
I should like to see this nation geared up to the ability to turn out at least 50,000 planes a year.
Roosevelt understood that oil was a decisive factor in America's victory in World War II. We triumphed over the Germans and Japanese, true by military prowess and the leadership of our generals, but also because the U.S. had a superior industrial capacity. We were able to produce so many thousands of tanks and planes, and we had the petroleum to fuel those weapons, whereas the Germans and Japanese did not. But at the same time, Roosevelt understood that the United States would no longer be able to supply its forces with oil in the future because we were using up so much of our domestic reserves. And this is what worried Franklin Roosevelt most in the final months of World War II. And so he set out to find a foreign source of oil to make up for the decline in American reserves.
One of the most colorful visits to the presidential cruiser was that of the ruler of Saudi Arabia, King Ibn Saud. The 65-year-old monarch leaves his country for the first time to attend this.
You have to picture this extraordinary moment at the end of World War II. The fateful meeting on February 14, 1945, between the President of the United States, Franklin D. Roosevelt, and the King of Saudi Arabia, Abdulaziz Ibn Saud. On one hand, the leader of the free world, a passionate advocate of democracy and freedom, sitting next to an absolute monarch who was accompanied by slaves and astrologers and Bedouin bodyguards. No records were kept of this meeting, but all historians and American policymakers agree that the basis of the discussion was that henceforth the United States would provide the royal family with protection in return for an exclusive American right to develop Saudi Arabia's oil. And every American president since then has reaffirmed the U.S. alliance with Saudi Arabia.
Our relations with Saudi Arabia have been long, close, and cordial. as the venerable Arabic saying has it, our house is your house.
There's an Arab saying, the sands are blowing. And I submit to you, King Fahd, that if the sands of time give us any hint of the future, it is that in the days ahead, the friendship between the Saudi Arabian and American people will be a strong and vital force in the world.
So even when American presidents speak about our deep commitment to the spread of democracy worldwide, and we rail against other countries, Iran or Sudan, Venezuela, for their lack of democracy, we conspicuously ignore the total lack of democracy in Saudi Arabia year after year after year.
There are questions about how good a friend Saudi Arabia has really been to the U.S.
Experts and U.S. officials give the Saudis low marks, charging that they continue to export the ideology of terror. Human rights groups and Saudi dissidents also complain about the pace of reforms promised by King Abdullah and say Saudi Arabia remains among the worst countries in the Middle East when it comes to religious freedom and rights of women. But Saudi women still can't drive, can't vote, and can't work or get medical treatment without approval of a male relative.
We have historically chosen to overlook the fact that the royal family is a feudal monarchy that grants no rights whatsoever to its population. And we have created a very elaborate military establishment in Saudi Arabia, providing some of the most sophisticated arms in the world, providing military training to the kingdom, military advisors of stationing troops in the kingdom.
The modern Saudi military really is a creation of the United States. We've had military missions there for decades.
And there can be no explanation for that other than the fact that the royal family guarantees our access to Saudi Arabian oil.
818-985-5735. That's the number to call. And you've been listening to an excerpt of the new documentary Blood and Oil, based on the book by Michael T. Clare, whose voice you have just heard. And when you call the number I mentioned, we will, for a pledge of $10 a month from you to KPFK, we'll send you a copy of this documentary. And it's amazing when you listen to the hypocrisy of U.S. Policy. You know, after 9/11, there was all of this sudden worry over the rights of Afghan women, because we remembered what we realized what was happening in Afghanistan with the Taliban's treatment of women. No mention of the fact that our great ally Saudi Arabia was one of the three sponsoring countries of the Taliban, and no mention of the fact that women's rights in Saudi Arabia are not that much better than women's rights in Afghanistan. But that doesn't matter. You know, the Taliban can be our enemy, we can demonize them, but the Saudi Arabian regime, whose treatment of women is at least in the books, just as bad, that's fine. They're our friends. That's because they control the source of oil. You know, it's amazing when you think of this hypocrisy. That's just one of the many things that this very, very important and well-made documentary points out. 818-985-KPFK is the number to call. 818-985-5735. It's a $10 a month pledge to this station for this documentary. We'll give it to you, or you can pledge $500 and meet us at the station. Now, we have some extra little thank you gifts to give you as well if you call and make a pledge. The next caller that calls and gets Blood and Oil for $10 a month, we would love to thank you with a one-day experience in Larchmont Village. It's a $175 value, so it's worth even more than the film itself. And basically, it's way for you and a friend to visit Larchmont Village, a small but charming street nestled between Melrose Avenue and 3rd Street in Los Angeles. We'll give you a gift certificate to Chevaliers, the neighborhood independent bookstore. You can browse and select a book with your gift certificate. Then you can walk up to Larchmont Wine and Spirits and select wine for your dinner with another gift certificate. You can cross the street to enjoy a marvelous Italian dinner for two at Louise's. That will be another third gift certificate. And then to top off your evening, you can can stop at Baskin and Robbins right next door to Louise's for a delicious ice cream treat. That is 4 gift certificates. It's all part of one gift called a one-day experience in Larchmont Village. We only have one of these to give to our listener, lucky listener who calls in and pledges $120. You can, of course, redeem those gift certificates at any time at your leisure. We are, you know, giving this away. It's the last day of the fund drive. It's our last way to thank you this morning for a pledge of $10 a month. The first caller who calls and asks for the one-day experience in Larchmont Village will give you this $175 value gift for your pledge of just $10 a month. So not only will you be supporting KPFK, you'll get these wonderful gift certificates to these local area establishments, and we'll send you the DVD Blood and Oil. 818-985-KPFK, 818-985-5735. Fabulous documentary. We're going to take a short break and be right back. Welcome back to Uprising. You know, this weekend was a terrible weekend for many of us here in Los Angeles. We lost a very, very dear friend, Don White. Maybe you've seen him, maybe you know him personally. Member of the KPFK local station board, former chair of our board, and the director of the committee in solidarity with the people of El Salvador. So if I sound a little bit less than myself today, it's because I'm still in shock, as are many, many members of the KPFK family and many, many members of our community here in Los Angeles. Don was a pillar in our community and really an unsung hero, someone who just was here last week answering phones, really, for KPFK. I saw him a week ago, and he was answering phone calls, taking donations for the station, and I went up and gave him a hug and told him how much I appreciated what he was doing. He passed away this weekend in his apartment, and the details of his death are as yet unknown. So we mourn Don very, very much. He will be missed very deeply here. And on our website at uprisingradio.org, we've put up a small tribute to him that we're encouraging people to go and make comments. If you want to just say something about Don White in memory of him, please do go and you know, write up a few words if you knew him personally or if you knew of him. And on Wednesday, Uprising will be doing an hour-long tribute to our friend Don White. We'll be taking listener calls. We will be talking to some of his close friends as well. That's this Wednesday. So please do stay tuned for that. We will miss Don tremendously. And I don't know how we're going to be able to fill the hole that has been left behind. So we will definitely miss our compañero, Don White. We'll be right back with the rest of this program in just a moment. Welcome back to Uprising. So KPFK continues its fund drive. We have till this evening to meet our goal. We hate to have to ask you for your pledge of support, but unfortunately it's a reality. And, you know, this is how we do it. We ask you to be the sponsor. We don't want GE. We don't want, the big corporations to play ads on our airwaves and subject you to that. So unfortunately we have to subject you to fund drives, but at least it's honest. It's upfront. It lets you know where the money is coming from. So We would love it if you could pledge $10 a month for this documentary. We're featuring on this last day of fundraising on Uprising for this particular pledge drive. It's called Blood and Oil. It's based on the book by Michael T. Clare. Please call and make that pledge if you possibly can at $10 a month. And for those of you who haven't pledged yet during this fund drive, your inaction translates into pretty dire straits for this station. I don't want to be sensationalist. And in fact, our executive director, Nicole Sawaya, from whom you'll hear this Friday, has encouraged us not to be too sensationalist and extreme with our listeners. We don't want to threaten you, but I think it's important for us to be honest with you and explain to you what is going on. And you're probably not surprised because our economy reflects the general economy at large. So please call us, make that pledge. It's just $10 a month. It's tax deductible. 818-985-KPFK is that number. I want to play you another excerpt from the documentary Blood and Oil. And this is about how various presidents over the years have contributed to a U.S. foreign policy in terms of keeping this country dependent on oil.
Alarmed at the rapid expansion of totalitarian interests in Europe and Asia, President Truman addresses a joint session of Congress on our changing foreign policy. A grave gathering hears his forthright message.
The gravity of the situation which confronts the world today necessitates my appearance before a joint session of the Congress.
With the Truman Doctrine, for example, what we understand is that the Soviet Union was posing a threat to Greece and Turkey. That's the official explanation, and that something had to be done to stop this.
The very existence of the Greek state is today threatened by the terrorist activities of several thousand armed men led by communists.
But Truman was really worried about Soviet efforts to dominate the Persian Gulf area and to control the flow of oil from the Persian Gulf. In fact, declassified documents show that the Truman administration was so concerned about a possible Soviet takeover of the Persian Gulf that they contrived plans to plug up Saudi Arabian oil fields in case the Soviets came in and took over the area and we were forced to abandon the region. But he was fearful that the American public wasn't ready for military intervention in the area, so he decided to couch this in terms of a vast Soviet conspiracy against free peoples around the world.
If we falter in our leadership, we may endanger the peace of the world, and we shall surely endanger the welfare of this nation.
And that became known as the Truman Doctrine. But if you look closely at the diplomatic history, you will find that what was really on the minds of American policymakers at the time was the possibility of a threat to Saudi Arabia and the oil flow from the Middle East. And the same geopolitical concern over Soviet domination of the Persian Gulf and its oil shaped the Eisenhower Doctrine.
The Middle East has abruptly reached a new and critical stage in its long and important history. If the nations of that area should lose their independence, if they were dominated by alien forces hostile to freedom, that would be both a tragedy for the area and for many other free nations whose economic life would be subject to near strangulation.
The oil flow from the Persian Gulf is so essential to American security and well-being that we'll do anything necessary to protect it.
If power-hungry communists should either falsely or correctly estimate that the Middle East is inadequately defended, they might be tempted to use open measures of armed attack. If so, that would start a chain of circumstances which would almost surely involve the United States in great military action.
These sorts of brazen announcements that the United States would use force to protect its interests continued right through to the Vietnam War.
We Americans are a do-it-yourself people. We're an impatient people. Instead of teaching someone else to do a job, we like to do it ourselves. And this trait has been carried over into our foreign policy.
But the Vietnam War made the American public very reluctant to send American troops into troubled third world countries. and Nixon was forced to change course.
When you are trying to assist another nation defend its freedom, U.S. policy should be to help them fight the war, but not to fight the war for them.
So we ended up with the Nixon Doctrine, which called for the United States to rely on proxy forces to defend American interests in these troubled third world areas.
For the Nixons, Tehran was different. The welcome was warm, full of pomp and enthusiasm.
In the Persian Gulf, the Nixon Doctrine was focused specifically on Iran, where the United States embraced the autocratic Shah of Iran to be our surrogate, our proxy. And it was the Shah who was chosen to protect U.S. interests in the Gulf area.
And now we come again to Tehran. And we see the progress that has occurred in those 19 years under the enlightened leadership of Your Majesty.
And we provided billions and billions of dollars to the Shah and to Iranian forces to protect the oil.
And this surrogate strategy worked fine until the Shah of Iran was overthrown in 1979.
Suddenly, Iran is no longer one of this country's strongest and most dependable allies in the strategic Persian Gulf area.
The autocratic Shah was replaced by the Ayatollah Khomeini, who adopted an anti-American stance.
This produced tremendous panic in Washington because there were no proxies left to defend the oil.
The voice of Michael T. Clare speaking on this documentary, brand new documentary, just released by the Media Education Foundation, well known for producing very, very high quality documentaries that you can really count on. I mean, they do amazing fact checking and amazing production. You can maybe refer to Peace Propaganda and the Promised Land, another popular thank you gift. They did that one. Hijacking Catastrophe was produced by them. Real Bad Arabs was produced by them as well. 818-985-KPFK is a number to call for a pledge of just $10 a month. We'll send you Blood and Oil on DVD. It's our last chance to ask you for this fund drive to make your pledge to KPFK. Renew your membership. Pledge whatever you can. And we owe that thank you gift to Larchmont Avenue. The gift certificates are gone, so congratulations to the winner who won those. But we now want to just, between now and the end of the hour, give away tickets to Annie DeFranco, who's going to be playing at the House of Blues in Anaheim on June 28th. If you pledge $10 a month for Blood and Oil, we'll give you a pair of tickets. And that pair of tickets is worth $70 just by itself. Annie DeFranco, Grammy Award winning singer, songwriter, and guitarist, founder of Righteous Babe Records and feminist icon. She's going to be playing a single show only in Southern California at the House of Blues in Anaheim. And it's the exclusive showing Saturday, June 28th, performance at the House of Blues. This is available with a credit card pledge only to KPFK. I'll be there to introduce Annie DeFranco. I'm very excited about that because I'm a big fan of her music. And so we have four pairs of tickets to see her along with a pledge to KPFK for $10 a month for Blood and Oil. We have one caller on the line right now, and I'm hoping that that caller is getting those tickets because they're going to go fast. So the next three callers will also be able to get tickets to see Ani. 818-985-KPFK is the number to call. 818-985-5735. It's a fabulous documentary that, you know, you heard a little bit about Nixon in this last excerpt we played. The documentary covers how the Reagan administration also continued this legacy of U.S. dependence on oil to, of course, the detriment of not only this country, but the whole world. Bush Sr., George W. Bush's father, and in the Gulf, and his role with the Gulf War continued that legacy. So, of course, did George W. Bush himself. And I want to skip ahead to another excerpt from this documentary a little bit later in the film, which, of course, makes the connection between our war in Iraq and our oil policy. 818-985-5735 is the number to call. It's just a $10 a month pledge. Plus, we'll give you tickets to Annie DeFranco if we have them and if we have any left. Please make those calls. It's our last chance to ask you for our funds. This fund drive will end this evening no matter what. We are very sorry it's gone on this long. We wish that you know, we could have ended it much earlier. And if more of you called in to make small pledges, just small small donations, if we got lots and lots of you to make small donations, we would have ended it much sooner. So please call and make that pledge. We will be returning to regular programming tomorrow. I know you're heaving a sigh of relief at hearing that if you're a regular listener to Uprising. I know you'd much rather listen to regular programming than this, but I'm excited that we're able to bring this documentary because the content of it is very much in line with the kind of programming we do. Very beautiful analysis, very succinct and insightful analysis. 818-985-KPFK is that number. And by the way, a couple of listeners called in requesting their messages to be read on the air, so I will do that. Mohan Menon pledged $200 in memory of Don White. Quote, "For all the young people he helped, thank you, Don," says Mohan Menon. Also, Rick Banyalis asked that this hour be in memory of Don White. Encourage others who knew Don to do the same, to respect his work and his friendship. So Rick Banyalis asking us if we could read that on the air. A lot of people will be, of course, missing Don. Remember, on Wednesday, we'll have a whole hour-long tribute to Don White. So please make those calls. Keep them coming. It's the way that we stay on the air. We try to keep all Southern Californians in touch with one another. This whole KPFK family, our community, remains together in large part due to the work of KPFK. And we try to give you information about local events and anti-war marches and demonstrations, concerts, poetry readings, exhibitions, anything that will help enhance your social, political, economic outlook, your approach to the world, encourage you to become a more conscientious human being. That's part of our mission. So please, if you believe in that mission, help support KPFK. We really would love for you to join us. It's our last chance to support the station. And please join us in helping keep KPFK strong so that we can continue our coverage. The elections are coming up. We've got lots and lots of news. We want to give you really great cutting edge analysis. And we've got a lot of great things lined up for you once the fund drive ends. An hour-long interview with David Sirota of his book, about his book, coincidentally called The Uprising. Tim Robbins, we have an interview with him that we'd like to play. We've got an interview planned on Jordan High School. So much great programming lined up for you. So if you love that, if you're excited about that, if you want to honor that, make a pledge to KPFK at 818-985-KPFK. Here's another excerpt of the very good documentary Blood and Oil that we would love to offer you in exchange for your $10 a month pledge to Pacifica Radio and KPFK. This excerpt is, of course, about the war we're in currently, one of the two wars we're in, that is the war against Iraq.
Now, among the recommendations of the report, as is well known, is that the United States should allow drilling in Alaska at the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge, or ANWR. And this has produced a great deal of controversy in this country.
Our plan confronts our increasing dependency on foreign sources of energy, but calling for, and yes, it's true, I admit it, calling for increased domestic production of energy.
If you listen to the administration's rhetoric, you get the impression that there's enough oil in Alaska to supply all of America's needs.
ANWR could yield more than 1 million barrels a day, nearly as much as we import from Saudi Arabia and Venezuela.
If President Clinton had signed drilling in ANWR back in the 90s, we would be enjoying 1 million barrels a day more today.
If it costs a lot to fill up the tanks and they don't like that, well, demand that the supply increase, demand that oil be drilled offshore in ANWR and so on. And they aren't. Otherwise, look, shut up.
But the report makes clear that there's not nearly enough oil in the United States to satisfy our ever-growing needs. And therefore, it's very clear from reading through it that we have to rely increasingly on the Middle East and other foreign areas to satisfy rising U.S. requirements. And so what this debate did was to distract attention from other aspects of the energy plan, which called for increased dependence on imported oil. Essentially, the report calls on the Persian Gulf producers to double their output over the next 25 years and calls on the U.S. government to take the necessary steps to make sure that this will occur. And at the very same time that the Cheney Commission drew this conclusion, the Department of Defense was conducting a review of American military policy headed by Secretary of Defense Donald Rumsfeld. That study, going on simultaneously, concluded that the United States had to beef up its capacity for what's called power projection, an ability to project military power into the rest of the world. And they focus on exactly the same areas of the world that the Cheney Report talks about. So there was a meshing of the energy requirements of the Cheney plan and the defense thinking of Donald Rumsfeld. And this leads to what I call the strategy of maximum extraction. The strategy of maximum extraction requires that there be governments in place in the Persian Gulf countries that will ensure that their countries are pumping oil to supply American needs over the next 25 years.
Well, Saudi Arabia made it clear, and has made it clear publicly, that they will not use oil as a weapon.
Now, you have such regimes in Saudi Arabia, Kuwait, Qatar, and the United Arab Emirates. Two countries do not have such regimes: Iraq, up until 2003, and Iran today. From Washington's point of view, these are spoiler countries.
There are places that have oil, that are using oil as a weapon, or using oil as a carrot for certain policies, and that's troubling.
They're standing in the way of the strategy of maximum extraction. And so for the strategy to succeed, ultimately, you're going to be thinking about replacing those governments with governments that are more inclined to meet Washington's objectives.
Regime change is welcome in whatever form that it takes.
So the answer is yes.
Thank you. Regime change is welcome in whatever form it takes.
Saddam Hussein was standing in the way of the strategy of maximum extraction. And as we have seen, that has always set off alarm bells in Washington.
Should all his ambitions be realized, the implications would be enormous for the Middle East, for the United States, and for the peace of the world.
This is what I think Dick Cheney was saying in his speech of August 26, 2002, before the Veterans of Foreign War, a speech which highlights the threat posed by weapons of mass destruction.
Armed with an arsenal of these weapons of terror and seated atop 10% of the world's oil reserves, Saddam Hussein could then be expected to seek domination of the entire Middle East, take control of a great portion of the world's energy supplies, directly threaten America's friends throughout the region.
In fact, Dick Cheney used almost exactly the same language in September 1990 before the Senate Armed Services Committee.
Iraq controlled 10% of the world's reserves prior to the invasion of Kuwait. Once Saddam Hussein took Kuwait, he doubled that to approximately 20% of the world's known oil reserves. He was clearly in a position to be able to dictate the future of worldwide energy policy, and that gave him a stranglehold on our economy and on that of most of the other nations of the world as well.
And so when I say that the war in Iraq was about oil, I say this in geopolitical terms, in line with the Carter Doctrine, the Eisenhower Doctrine, and the Truman Doctrine, going back to FDR. What matters to the United States and to all of these presidential doctrines is control over the flow of Persian Gulf oil.
Look, I've been a member of four administrations. In every one of those administrations, we had as a written national security policy that we would go to war to protect the energy reserves of the Persian Gulf, if necessary.
The administration went to war saying it was all about weapons of mass destruction.
I believe that they believe that. I'm not saying that they believed it was about oil. I'm saying it is about oil, and that I believe it was necessary to get Saddam out of there.
And yet this administration, like others before it, has consistently denied that oil is a reason for going to war.
Oil. Is it about oil?
Helen, as I've told you many times, if this had anything to do with oil, the position of the United States would be to lift the sanctions so the oil could flow. This is not about that. This is about...
The issue is not about Iraqi oil. If the United States had wanted access to Iraqi oil, we could have dropped our whole policy 12 years ago.
There's been a lot of speculation in the world, and I suppose it's understandable, suggesting that
the interest of the United States and the coalition countries that are concerned about Iraq relates to oil. It does not relate to oil.
Donald Rumsfeld, former Secretary of Defense, making a statement that, of course, once you see this documentary and if you've been reading the news for the past several years, find very hard to believe. Many, many members of the Bush administration fervently trying to establish that our policy on Iraq is not about oil. That's from a documentary called Blood and Oil by the Media Education Foundation, based on the book by Michael T. Clare. Now, of course, the reason why the Bush administration has tried very hard to distance itself from wanting Iraq's oil is because they know that the American people, as polls have shown, do not like to go to war for resources, and that they are only supportive of war when it comes to issues of self-defense or if the country that is being targeted is very much shown to be a real threat to the world and to its neighbors, or for the issue, you know, for human rights and those sorts of issues. And so, of course, it was incumbent on this administration to make the case against Saddam Hussein based on fictitious weapons of mass destruction, but certainly never, never, never about oil, as all of these mostly men have been very eager to say. Well, if you watch this documentary, Blood and Oil, you will see right through all of it. The historical legacy, the weight of that historical legacy makes these statements sound absolutely ludicrous. It doesn't make any sense whatsoever when you look at how the U.S. has created, through various presidents going all the way back to FDR, has created this dependence on oil, that the war with Iraq is not about oil, and certainly the possible war with Iran would be very much based on that same reason as well. And that the documentary covers this as well. If we have time, we may go to the final excerpt from this documentary about the wars to come. But we'd love to hear from more of you right now. We still have tickets to Ani DiFranco left. We have three pairs left. If you'd like to go see Ani DiFranco, you know, times are tough economically. So maybe you're a huge fan of Ani DiFranco and you're thinking, gosh, I'd love to go see her at the House of Blues in Anaheim June 28th, but I just can't afford it. $35 a ticket, you know, that's $70 for two people. But why don't you take the opportunity to use a violent metaphor, kill two birds with one stone, make a donation to KPFK for $10 a month, and we'll give you this DVD. You'll be supporting KPFK, and you'll get tickets to see Ani DiFranco. That's, in fact, three birds. Supporting KPFK, getting tickets to see Ani DiFranco, and getting this fabulous documentary. We're trying to give you as many incentives as possible to support this radio station. It's very important that we remain on the air. This is such an important time for us to remain on the air. 818-985-KPFK is the number to call. You know, The Economist, this British magazine that people in power especially like to read, but it's really well worth reading for the rest of us as well, to find out what the world is thinking, what elites are thinking. The Economist calls Blood and Oil a thoughtful and well-researched history of oil and geopolitics. Mr. Clare provides a service when he puts America's close ties with Saudi Arabia in a historical context. Chalmers Johnson, maybe you're a fan of Chalmers Johnson. You know, he wrote that very, very well-known book, Blowback, that became extremely important after 9/11. He says Blood and Oil is the most comprehensive, up-to-date analysis of America's military petroleum complex available today, from our gluttonous demand for fuel to power our automobiles to the activities of CENTCOM in the Persian Gulf. Michael Clare is invariably incisive and accurate. With a petroleum import dependency well over 50%, the United States is digging its own grave. That's what Chalmers Johnson says about the book and the DVD that the book is based on, by Michael Clare. Retired Lieutenant General H.C. Stackpole says, compelling and insightful U.S. dependence on oil is not something that can be dealt with down the road, Clare posits. He offers thoughtful solutions that, while expensive, are essential to escape compromising the principles of American policy. The powerful book and video forecast that if we do not change the paradigm, the flow of blood will continue unabated, while a dwindling supply of oil will threaten powerful and weak nations alike. That's what a retired lieutenant general had to say about Michael T. Clare and his analysis that this very important documentary is based on. 818-985-KPFK is the number to call. 818-985-5735. It's my last chance to ask you to support us. We still may have tickets to Ani DiFranco. Just ask the people who pick up the phone to let you know. whether you can go and see her on June 28th. I'd love to have you there. I'll be there introducing Ani as well, which I'm so honored to be able to do. I'm a big fan of Ani DeFranco's music, but also a very big fan of Michael T. Clair. So I get to offer these two, the work of these two fabulous people and others like them on KPFK. Of course, listeners who may have tuned into Democracy Now! Know that we also lost another important person that was related to the Pacifica family, and that's comedian Bill George Carlin. George Carlin, whose work was so amazingly powerful, fresh, funny, hysterically funny, and that helped put WBAI, our sister station, on the national map. Pacifica Radio and George Carlin have a long history. And unfortunately, we lost George Carlin as well this weekend. He was 71 years old. His voice is preserved in our archives. And that's the kind of service that Pacifica Radio provides to your listeners. Oh, we don't have any more tickets to Ani DeFranco, I'm being told from the phone room. So congratulations to those of you who called in and got those. We only have 4 minutes left. And in these last 4 minutes, I'd love to appeal to all of you who haven't pledged yet. You know, if you appreciated the wonderful wedding that we broadcast on Friday live from the Center for Gay and Lesbian, for the Los Angeles Gay and Lesbian Center, the Village at Ed Gould Plaza live broadcast, which was weeks in preparation, please call and make that pledge. And by the way, I want to send a shout out to Talk About It Jewelry, who donated rings to the happy couple. I very, very sadly failed to mention Talk About It Jewelry at the end of our broadcast. I just made a mistake and wasn't able to mention a thank you to them as well. So we have that on our website, by the way, if you want to listen to that broadcast. But most importantly, just call and pledge whatever you can. Go to kpfk.org and make an online donation if you can't make, if you can't do that, if you can't call right now, you know, go home and or to work and go to your computer and make an online pledge at kpfk.org or just call 818-985-KPFK. James Odling, another friend of KPFK and a member of the activist community here, just made a pledge in memory of our late friend Don White. It's been a very difficult weekend, as I said before, and Don, it will be very, very much missed, and we are going to be paying tribute to Don on our airwaves Wednesday on Uprising, an hour-long tribute to our dear, dear friend Don White. Keep those calls coming in, folks, because remember, KPFK is the reason why many, many, many folks around Southern California remain connected. People like Don White remain connected to what's happening in Southern California. And James and Rick Banyales and all these other folks who have been calling who, you know, are connected partly because of KPFK. We're all remaining connected with one another because of the service that the station provides. So if you appreciate that service, please call. I want to get back to my regular work. I didn't sign up for incessant fundraising to be a staff member here at KPFK. My job is to bring you cutting-edge analysis and to bring you politics, information, interview guests, do the research, ask the questions, and help educate you. We do have to do this. I would much rather ask you directly for funds than to take a break for a commercial, which many, many commercial radio hosts have to do. In fact, most commercial radio hosts have supposedly an hour-long program, but their program gets interrupted every 10 minutes for 5 minutes of commercials. We don't do that at KPFK, so I'd much rather, even though it is painful, come and ask you for your funds. Well, we are nearly out of time, folks. Please call, make a pledge. 818-985-KPFK is that number. $10 a month for blood and oil, or pledge whatever you can. We still have Meet Me at the Station, $500 pledge for you and a friend to come to the station on Wednesday, July 2nd and at 7 p.m. And we'll take you out to dinner. We'll give you a tour of the station. It's a wonderful, I've always enjoyed those. And we have just a few of those left. For Sonali, Subversive Thought for the Day, in memory of my friend, my dear friend, Don White. Dietrich Bonhoeffer once said, "Action springs not from thought, but from readiness for responsibility." That's Dietrich Bonhoeffer. And that really, I think, upholds exactly what Don stood for, always ready to take action and never, never interested in recognition. Don, our humble, humble friend, this is for you, this program, and all day today and this week, we dedicate it to you and your memory. You've been listening to Uprising. Gabriel San Roman is our assistant producer. Tamika Zogi is our engineer. Please go to kpfk.org and pledge online. Keep those calls coming. Thanks to everybody who's donated so far. I'll be back live tomorrow with regular programming. Yay! Very happy to do that. And stay tuned now for Democracy Now! I'm your host and producer, Sonali Kolhatkar. Thanks so much for listening and for joining us.